2023, you relocated to London. I wanted to ask you a little bit about the community in London. Is there a big African community? Is it something that you're tapped into and a part of there?
Yes, there's a huge African community here. A lot of people with roots in like Nigeria and the Caribbean, like all across the Caribbean, as well as other places like Ghana, and yeah, quite a lot of people from, I think, Senegal as well, but actually not as many people from Cameroon, because a lot of the Cameroonian, which is, I'm Cameroonian, a lot of Cameroonian immigrants are in like France and Paris.
My mum's from Mozambique, so we speak Portuguese.
Oh, and really?
Yeah. That's why I was asking that question. I just have to preface that I'm African too, but all of the like
Mozambicans. I've been to Mozambique.
Yeah? Whereabouts did you go?
Yeah, it's beautiful. I've been to Maputo.
Oh, man. That's awesome, bro. That's crazy. Well, I need to go to Cameroon now. I need to go hang out. I wanted to ask you about Cameroon too, because one of the reasons that your press release gives for you moving to London is so you can have that reconnection there. So you've been spending some time in Cameroon. How's that been going?
Yeah, I have. I went for the first time ever in 2023, and that was amazing. Like, it was all sorts of emotions. It was scary. It was overwhelming. It was mind-opening. It was peacemaking. I met like 11 of my first cousins in about 3 days.
African experience right there.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. And like, you have family members like popping out of every corner. And like, I was in Douala and I just knew very little. The information that I'd gotten growing up was very scarce. So it was pretty amazing.
I'm so glad it's been fruitful in more than, I guess, one way, because while you're over there, the song came out, Dougdala. It's a product of your time in Cameroon, where you met Fancy Fingers and Winyo. Can you talk a little bit about that first meeting? How did you guys link up?
So we were at this place in Cameroon, which is amazing. It's called Kribi. It's by the sea. And it was for this production kind of camp / workshop that had been organized. And there were like producers mainly from throughout all out of Africa. So yeah, they were there from Kenya. There were people from Benin, Togo, Cote d'Ivoire, like Nigeria, all over. And we were just together in this place every day, making music, talking, getting to know each other. And yeah, that's how it came to pass that I met them and started this project.
When I saw Fancy Fingers on the credits too, my heart jumped a little bit, because like, waking up on Sunday mornings as a teenager, my mom would be playing Salty Soul. And it'd be like, okay, it's
really?
Time. Yeah, it's time to get up and clean now. Like, but you know, you're always happy. Were you a big fan of Salty Soul before you met Fancy Fingers? Was that in your world?
I actually hadn't heard their music before. I didn't know who they were. And then I kind of like met him and figured out that, yeah, he was part of this like massive band from Kenya who've like got incredible accolades. I know they've won Grammys and like done a lot of incredible tours. So yeah, I met, actually, like, it's incredible, like, you meet people from these different countries all over the world, and there's just like so much people have done, and every country's just got these like national treasures of people that have done incredible things in like arts and culture.
Yeah, and it's the same as you, man. You're our New Zealand delegate out there on the scene, so it's really cool. Proud to have you out there. I guess the beautiful thing about this track too is all its sonic nuances, like, just so well produced. It kind of fulfills that prophecy that you laid out, and I want to be a producer. Did you end up driving with your car windows down, your beats playing loud? Like, was that part of the experience when you were making this?
Always. If I have a car available, I will always try and play beats out of a car, because I feel like that's one of the most satisfying ways to listen to your music. But in London, I'm mainly on double-decker buses. I'm just like at the top of the double decker bus, which is also pretty sweet, you know, like right at, I always try to get the front seats.
Yes, yeah.
Pretend that I'm driving.
Yeah. Swerving and you feel the wind. No, 100%.
You're getting like hit by the trees, because there are like trees that are too low.
Man, that's always scary, because you know it's not going to hurt you, but you're like, oh, it's coming. Oh man, it's so good. I know people like to do the like cast radio like test when they're doing like mixes. Final mixes and masters, but I feel like double decker bus is even more intense. Then you know it's really good.
I listened to the song a lot. So it was co-produced by my friend Ella McConnell, and as soon as we like had finished the whole song. Like, I was just listening to it on repeat, because it's interesting, because I'm not like the vocalist on this track.
Yeah.
I don't like cringe from it as much as I would if it was my own music. Like, if it was my own music, I wouldn't be listening to it on repeat and just enjoying it. I'd be listening to it on repeat, like criticizing it and thinking about, you know, like what I could have done better, to be honest. But this track, I just like love their vocals. Like, I love the rhythm of their melodies. I love the harmonies. So I'm kind of like, yeah, it's funny. I'm kind of obsessed myself.
Man, I'm obsessed too. I think you're so right about that. And it's like the using Luo as like, I guess the language that they're singing to is so rhythmic that it just fits so well. Yeah, but it's a beautiful track. Speaking about Alan McConnell too, I wanted to talk about the sessions you guys made the song in. Something to do with Tame Impala, they invited you along to these studio sessions. Is that correct?
Yeah, so it was for Telepathic, which is Kevin. Tame Impala's, like, the, it's his like synth company. They've created a synth called The Orchid, and they were doing, I suppose, like sessions with The Orchid at Young Studios in Dalston. And yeah, Ellen and I actually met there. I had these vocals and I was like, we got put together into a group to use this orchid. So it all kind of came about from the synth. And actually,
whoa,
I literally just got sent one today.
What? That's
crazy.
It just
arrived, and I had another session with Ellen today for another song.
This is just auspicious timing. That's incredible. Is it? Do you love it? Like, do you love it? Are you quite a, like, how big is the synth? What are we talking?
It's like not big, it's that big, but it's actually incredible for me because I'm not a keys player, and the way the synth works is that it gives you a chord when you press a note, so you can choose whether it's major or minor, or like if it's got any kind of other finicky things, like whether it's just, you know, like a sus chord or whatever. So that's how this track started.
Damn, I feel like that's so perfect for you too, because it's like almost portable. And I remember, I don't know, you were doing like sessions when you came back last time, like just on the beach or something, just like with a mixer.
Oh yeah.
Take the synth down next time, make some songs. That'll be crazy.
Absolutely, like for sure. It's gonna be traveling with me.
Love that. And this is all leading up to Diaspora Baby, which is releasing 2026. Very exciting.
Yes.
Can we expect more of the same kind of Afro House-y elements?
Yeah. So I'm gonna keep on releasing more Afro House tracks over the next coming months, and then Diaspora Baby, it's definitely got elements of like Afro House, and I suppose like my own connection to my Cameroonian roots, because I'm singing quite a lot in Bassa, which is the tribal language from Cameroon, from my family. It's kind of like it's a very cathartic like project to be working on, because I'm just learning so much about, I suppose, my history.
Yeah, I think it's such a unique, I mean, we have that shared experience of being like an African person who lives in New Zealand, and it feels like when I'm in New Zealand, I'm African, and when I'm in Africa, I'm a New Zealander. So it's so beautiful that you can like approach that through the language too, which is so beautiful.
Yeah, thank you. It's definitely like it's a pretty interesting process for sure. And Bassa is spoken by 200,000 people, but unlike other languages, let's say Te Reo Māori, you can't find it online, so you can't find translations. You have to know a fluent language speaker.
Wow.
In order to be able to like learn or say anything in the language. So luckily, like some of my cousins and a friend of mine speak fluent Bassa. I'm texting them all the time with like, how do you say this and how do you say that? And that's the only way that I can find it out. So yeah, but it's a bit gatekept, but it's okay.
Man, well, it's going to be on the record forever when you release this album. There'll be Bassa on the record forever in the lyric sheets. Thank you so much for speaking to me, Esther. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, and thanks for big upping the song. Really appreciate it.
Yes, of course. Big thank you to Esther for having that conversation. Such a treat, and this new track, it's amazing. So I'm going to be quiet and I'm going to play it. This is Dugdala, Esther, Fancy Fingers, and When You're Ain't It Good to Be African.
Oh, you do.